Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. And this week's Chicago Bears Roundtable, we unveil a brand new set in honor of Larry Mayer, the senior writer of ChicagoBears.com.
And it's round.
Finally,
got the shape right.
And welcome you to our show here today with Tom Thayer, my analyst on Bears Radio, on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. And Jason McKee, the ex-Chicago Bear fullback, kind enough to join us today. Jace, how you feeling, my friend?
Feeling good, man. Especially good since the Bears got a win. So had a little bragging rights around my neighborhood. There was a lot of trash talking amongst my neighbors. And I'm like, hey, I'm retired. But, you know, I got to break out the old Bears gear and wear it around the neighborhood.
Jason, if you live in the community, you got to be willing to take the brunt of the criticism and the love when it comes. And it's two in a row, so that feels even better.
Yeah, it feels great. You know, obviously this team is didn't look so good. They looked good against Green Bay. Obviously didn't look so good against Arizona. Came back strong the last two games. You know, I think they're really starting to establish some type of identity, you know, throughout the season, the beginning of the season, especially trying to find out what type of team you have. And I think right now this team is establishing an identity that they're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. They're going to play all four quarters. So it's looking good.
It's interesting to watch the reflection of the coaches and the coaching staff on these guys. Because, you know, you come into training camp and you have a group of players from last year's team. But there's a lot of culture change that needs to be had. And I think the wins the last 2 weeks, 2:05 on the clock, 2:04 on the clock, it shows a lot about the reflection of the staff that the players are having.
Exactly. You know, most teams, they take on the personality of their head coach. And, you know, I think the first few weeks of the season, we were talking, you know, we're looking to see what type of what identity this team would have. You know, how would they buy into the new coaching staff? And right now you can see that John Fox and his coaching staff is saying, you know what, no matter if we're down or what the situation is in a game, we're not going to give up. We're going to play four quarters of football. I think that's a testament to this coaching staff and experience that they have.
How important is that confidence? Because you can just see it's different than it was earlier in the season. You played on a Super Bowl team here, so how important is that?
It's very important because there's so much, you know, parity in the NFL now. And, you know, each and every week is going to be a dogfight. Regardless of records, you can throw records out the window. Each team's going to come in, they're going to give it your all. So you got to know that you got to play four quarters of football if you want to be successful in the NFL. And, you know, the teams that have that mentality succeed, and the teams that don't, well, they're 0-4 like Detroit right now.
You know, believe in what you're hearing in the meetings. When you talk about what Adam Gase has been able to do with Jay Cutler in the offense, and then the reflection of Vic Fangio on this defense, I think it's those guys sit in the meetings and, you know, 3 hours a day, all of a sudden you're going, okay, what they're teaching us and what they're telling us to do, I believe in.
I really believe it comes down to this. Every coach has a message. We've heard, and you obviously, it almost takes on a different theme every year, but the nuts and bolts and a very pragmatic way that John Fox goes about doing things, you start to hear it back from the players. They hear it at the podium. You know, you hear, you know, hey, you can't chop down a tree in one swing. You know, all the concepts of next man up that every coach says, these guys will take it to a new level. I believe that you two would love playing for this coaching staff because they don't care who you are, where you came from. They don't care how much experience you have. You know in that locker room that you have a chance of getting on the field on any given week. Doesn't matter. And they're not going to tailor the game plan just to accept you. They're going to expect you to deliver the game plan that they were going to put out there. It doesn't matter if it's Antrell Roll, Harold Jones-Quarte playing safety at 22 years old with no experience, or Cam Meredith running down the sideline on the final drive of a game 2 weeks in a row and being targeted by your
right, and then Charles Leno Jr., put him in there because he's going to left tackle. He's played in a couple of environments that are really difficult to refine your craft. And I think he's gone out there and the offensive line hasn't skipped a beat. Is that the same thing you see?
Yeah, I see that a lot. And a lot of times you look at an NFL roster and a lot of teams, they don't have the opportunity to use all 53 guys. But in this situation, with all the injuries that the Bears have, you're using all 53 guys. And that's a testament to the scouting department and the coaching staff. And, you know, they've done their homework. They've done the research. They have picked the right 53 guys. And if they don't have the right 53 guys, they brought guys in. But you mentioned Cameron Meredith, a guy who was undrafted. I mean, you put him out there, and he shows why he made this team. He's going out there making plays. And you can't speak volumes enough about the coaching staff.
He played receiver for 1 year at Illinois State.
Yeah.
He was quarterback.
Jason,
I mean,
were you drafted?
I was undrafted.
But I talk to these guys that are the enthusiasm that you have to have for your opportunity, it has to be like the old percolator coffee pot. Just going, 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 and wait for you to get your opportunity. And that's the same experience as you had going in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some guys will complain about not getting playing time. You know, they complain, they're going to tank. And some guys, they may not get their playing time when they want it, but when that opportunity comes, they seize that moment. Right. I think as an undrafted player or a player that's drafted in the late round, you have to be ready and willing at all times, because when that opportunity presents itself, you have to take advantage of it. And if you don't, it'll pass you by, and then it's nobody's fault but yourself.
So. And that next guy waiting in the wings.
Exactly.
I think the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit, too, because if you look at the last couple of years, there was a huge drop-off when the Bears had to go to their substitutes, second stringers. You mentioned Cameron Meredith. This is a guy that, like you said, was playing quarterback at Illinois State. He comes in the most clutch situations and performs. And you look up and down, look at what the offensive line is. The five starters going into the season, none of them are really in the same positions that they are now, except Matt Slauson.
I think it goes back to what I said. I mean, they've instilled this attitude in there. Hey, you know what? We're going to count on everybody. I mean, look at LaRon Reynolds.
Right.
Okay, now he's had some starts in his career. He's a three-year player. He just got here. And, you know, Shane McClellan goes down. And I know we both loved his hit on that running back in the game against the Chiefs on Sunday. He's a 4.5 speed guy, and he's in there sitting. He's looking good. He's looking good. And that's preparation by coaches and the player then taking it to the
field. Right, the initial judgment of character of the players that come here waiting in the wings. And when you're waiting in the wings, you have to prepare like a starter. And I think we heard that message from Hronis Grassou, from Leroy Reynolds, all these guys that have come into the game. It's about a judgment of character that these guys are willing to prepare, waiting for their moment.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, a lot of guys they'll wait for their moment and then they won't take advantage of it. But I think, you know, a lot of these young guys know that, hey, you know, if I don't go out and perform when my number's called, I'm only going to be here for a certain amount of weeks.
Well, let me ask you something about that, because you're in locker rooms, you know, in your career, and the players know first. They know who can play. We've discussed this before. So if you sit there and crab about not getting an opportunity, and then, you know, you get that opportunity and you weren't ready for it, or if the coaching staff hasn't instilled the concept in the players that, you know what, you might be relied upon, have you ever seen guys in the room kind of take it easy for several weeks because they've been passed over, and really you give some of the problem to the coach for not getting them mentally ready to be ready, and the player for not accepting the chance? Did you ever have players like that in your locker room?
Yeah, it's been, you know, a combination of things. I think there's been players who have had the ability to play but couldn't grasp the concepts of the playbook, so the coaches didn't feel comfortable to put them out there on the field. But at the same time, you know, it's the ability to go out there and play, and you show things in practice and show that you can play and make the plays that the coaches want you to make in practice. But it's a different thing to go out there and take that practice preparation to a game-type atmosphere. So I think it's a combination of things. I think the players that you see, the young guys that you see on the field, have showed the coaches, you know, that they can go out there and make the plays in practice, and the coaches trust them and feel confident enough to put them out there in game-type situations.
I don't think there's anybody on this team, though, that isn't thinking that they're going to get an opportunity to play. The Bears had 16 guys on the injury report last week, which means everybody's practicing, everybody's getting good reps, and everybody knows they're just one step away from playing in the game, and that's got to keep everybody ready as well, I would think.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, brings about a lot of excitement, but it also shows the confidence that the coaching staff has in these players. You know, a lot of guys go down, but they're confident enough with the 53-man roster they put together. So, you know, they know that these guys have shown that they have the ability to play, and they put them out there in the game, and now they're executing and making plays.
One of the biggest sins in the National Football League, in my opinion, and then there have been coaches here in the past, and we've been here a part of this for a long time. You know, coaches around the league say, you know what, I can't coach that guy, but he's on the roster. I believe it's your responsibility as a coach to try as hard as you can to find something about that player, right? To get him on the field.
Yeah, but that's a weeding out process of it, because I can recall right now a couple of guys that have been here and that have looked the part, but they can't play the part at all. And I don't want to throw them underneath the bus.
No.
A couple are still in the NFL.
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. Isn't that the expression?
Right, that's the adage, you know. But again, as long as you can coach a guy a million hours, but you give him his one, two opportunities, and he doesn't have snap count discipline. He doesn't have the reality of firing off into a player that's running full speed. And so all those things come into effect. But when you talk about 16 players on the injury report, you know, these guys are evaluating their understudies all week in practice. And so they get an understanding of guys they can have faith in.
You know, if the winning continues, that list is going to grow shorter too,
yeah.
Right? Because everybody's going to want to jump in the pool.
Absolutely. When you said the biggest sin in football, I thought he was going to say the disappearance of the fullback. What's going on with that, Jason?
Hey, man, all the fullbacks now are either coaching or doing media. doing media right now.
But I think if you're good, there's a spot for you. And I think when you bring back, you know, Jason here, he can play H-back. He can play fullback. He can be that offline tight end. So, you know, again, I needed to ask you because Jay Hilgenberg asked me, what's your favorite? He's a state champ wrestler. What's your favorite stand-up move in wrestling?
Man, you know what? It's been so long. You know, I actually wrestled just to stay in shape for football, which a lot of guys do now.
Exactly.
It's been a while. I just had the opportunity to do a lot of things at a young age, and that was one of the things, and a lot of people don't know that about me. It's funny you brought that up. But
and then you're also from Gulf Breeze.
Yes, sir.
Do you really have a Gulf Breeze where you grew up, or is that just the name of
no,
a town?
No, we do. We're right on the beach, so my high school was pretty much right across the street from the beach.
How is that?
It's good.
I mean,
it's a great town, big football town. Doug Baldwin, receiver from Seattle, from my same high school. We have a lot of NFL players that's in the NFL right now. And we also have we boast two Hall of Famers from our area.
Emmitt Smith
and Derrick Brooks. So
you said media before too, though. I have to ask you about this because it's interesting to me. You're doing a lot of different things. I look on social media and I see pictures of you with the Blackhawks, with the Stanley Cup, with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What's Mike Tyson like, and what were you doing with him?
So I actually own a sports marketing company called Sideline Sports Marketing, and we set up all the autograph signings and appearances for a lot of the Blackhawk players. Different athletes. You mentioned Mike Tyson, who was an intriguing figure, might I say. Probably one of the only people that I've actually sat next to or stood next to, I was kind of intimidated by.
Were you taller than him?
Yeah, I was actually taller than him. Yeah, he's definitely still got it. You know, they say that the older you get, that power never leaves. So I didn't want to, you know, cross that line.
Look at him. I mean,
George Foreman.
It's like he can still play a little bit. But you know, he was definitely interesting character. But he was good with the fans and he was good with his audience. So he gave me a whole new level of respect about
you're a fan of the Sweet Science, right?
Yeah.
Boxing?
Yeah. I am. I am. Big fan of boxing.
You throwing the gloves on at all?
Yeah, Friday I'll be throwing the gloves on for my foundation, an event we call Fight for Freedom, to where we'll have eight boxing bouts. I'll be fighting in the main event, and all the proceeds and ticket sales and auction items go to my charity, Jason Key Foundation, which benefits military families.
Have you scouted your opponent?
Yes, I have. Yes,
got
I have.
Got a name?
Yeah, do I have a name for him?
Yeah, who is he?
I can't name him because it's certain rules in which we can't.
Do you have a nickname?
I have a nickname? Nah, not really. Not
Jason
really.
I'm the fullback.
I'm going out to knock somebody out. That's it.
Wow. You got
for charity.
You got robes? You got any special?
Yeah, I got a special outfit.
I'd say you're kind of low key, you know, right under the radar a little bit, but are you gonna flash it up?
Yeah, I got an outfit made. The Bears will be represented on my outfit, but I'm not using the logo, so you can't sue me.
Can you have navy blue and orange? Is it navy blue and orange?
It'll be a little navy blue and orange on there.
You spent some time in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Your cousin played for the 76ers. Mm-hmm. There's a Rocky influence here somewhere, I'm guessing.
You know, somebody told me that I should come out to Rocky. And, you know, I have all the respect in the world for Sylvester Stallone and the story that he had. But I will not come out to that song. Because that song, it does get some people motivated. But for me, it's like, you know, okay, it doesn't get me motivated. I enjoy watching the movie and hearing that song, but I'm not going to come out to
maybe
that.
Apollo Creed or something like that.
Eye of the Tiger, maybe Rocky 2, Rocky 3.
Yeah.
So let's get refocused and look ahead here a little bit. The Detroit Lions. Lay in the offing at Ford Field. I have a strong suspicion it'll be mostly Bears fans. When the Lions are in this kind of funk and fans get irritated, and they are, they're very vocal about this situation. The Bears fans flood that joint, as they did, surprisingly, in Kansas City. I mentioned it on the broadcast, Tom, at the end, because the Chiefs fan left early, which shocked me, given their passion for the Kansas City Chiefs. The game was over.
It was the third quarter.
The game was over. They had a 17-3 lead. And the Bears fans in navy blue started to appear amongst the background of that red background of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I said, flowing up, and we were at 9 stories up in the press box, it looked like ants flowing down from the top of the rafters there. And boy, was there support. And they will be supportive in
Detroit.
You can
hear the chanting, too.
I disagree.
You don't think they'll be supportive in Detroit?
I think they're going to be really supportive of Matthew Stafford. I think that community likes Matthew Stafford, and he likes the Detroit community. They pulled him from that game, but then they came right in the press conference and Matthew Stafford is still our guy. So did the Bears fans have time to go out and buy Detroit tickets because they didn't know how the Bears were going to be? So now you really call into question your quarterback and a guy that's dedicated himself to Detroit. I think it's going to be a nasty, hostile, crazy environment, and they're going to want their first win against the Bears.
I hate to do this. I really do, but I've got to side with you.
Well, I'm not saying the game won't be nasty.
No, I understand.
No, I want Larry on your side. No,
I just think that you're trying to butter me up now so we don't fight.
But no, absolutely. That's the complete opposite.
Let me hear
The atmosphere, I believe, Detroit fans are going to be thinking, here we go again. This team is going to be disappointing us. They're underachieving. They have a lot of talent. And Bear fans, because of the proximity, Bear fans are going to be there in numbers a lot anyway. And with the two games back-to-back that the Bears won and the way they won it, the Cubs are firing everybody up. I definitely expect to see a whole bunch of Bear fans there and turning it into a Bears type of
situation. I'm not saying the Bears fans always travel well. I don't care where you go. And at the end of the game, I hope they're the ones again trickling down to the lower bowl. But I don't think that's the mentality of the Detroit fans this week. I think they're still going to hang on to their support.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, when you look at Detroit, there's really nothing going on right now but football. So I think they will be there supporting their team. Obviously, it's a rivalry game. You know, always a hostile environment going to in Detroit. You know, they stand by their team no matter what their record is. So, you know, I expect them to be there and be looking to get their first win. But, you know, hopefully we're ready. We're ready to go.
Be a great setup. Yeah.
What kind of boost does that give football players? I remember when you were in the Bears in 2006. I remember the Devin Hester game and, you know, in Arizona. I remember walking out onto the field about an hour before the game, and it was nothing but Bear fans. And a couple Cardinal players jogged out there and got booed.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing their eyes, and they were looking up like thinking, what is going on here? What kind of a boost is that when your team travel, your fans travel like that?
It does the team. You know, it's crazy how much – you feel as a player, how much confidence you feel going out there and how much respect you have for your fans knowing that they're behind you, that they've traveled across the country or to Detroit or wherever you're going to be playing that particular week, that they're supporting you. And it makes you want to go out there and play harder because you know you got the fans behind you, so you know you don't want to go out there not only to let yourself down, let your team down, but to let your fans down.
So a win gets the Bears to 3-3 heading into a bye week. It's a great dangling carrot there for the players. And then you come back, regroup. Should be healthier with that week off. And guys that have been injured for a while now, the Alshon Jeffries, maybe Eddie Roy, who's been nicked a few times here, gets healthy as well. And then you got the final 10 games, and who knows what happens. I mean, to get back to 3-3 when no one even thought you'd be in that situation, I think it would be a great feather in the cap to the coaching staff and this team for fighting through and being the resilient team they are.
But I would dangle the division win in front of my team instead of the bye week. The bye week is irrelevant because if you go in Detroit and you stub your toe, then the bye week is just the worst 5 days of your life waiting to get back on track. If you win that game, man, it creates a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence. And you talked about a couple of injured guys, you know, possibly being back in the lineup could really help them.
Well, it's going to be fun to wait and see what happens, as it always is in the National Football League. And it always feels good to win. John Fox came in and said, hey, listen, it's a lot more fun when you win. And I cannot disagree. It's been a big bounce here at Hallis Hall. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
me.
I appreciate it.
And your fight.
Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Good
I appreciate
luck.
It.
Hope the training has gone well.
Yes, sir.
And the entrepreneurial Jason McKee joining us here on Chicago Bears Roundtable. For Larry Mayer and Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks so much for watching here from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall and Chicago Bears Roundtable.